Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. You're with me, Sister Faiza Munjiri, on the program Our Community. And today's program is going to be very busy. So, and inshallah, I promise that it will inspire each one who is listening, inshallah. Today we speak to an 8-year-old with something called Milo Malingasel about his Ramadan. We get some insight from his mom also. And then there's also a book giveaway, alhamdulillah, generously sponsored by the author of Miracles, Rihanna Shahbulbulia. There's a lot going on in today's program. Also, later on, we give you some insight into this book of Rihanna's as we look at one of the stories. And we interview Rashid, the husband of Amina, whose story will definitely have you in tears. So today's program, we're talking about disability and Ramadan. For those of you who can tweet, send me a tweet at FaizaM. Also call us on 011-854-1548. We'd love to hear from you. In terms of Ramadan and what do you think Ramadan means to those who have the inability to do certain things, to be able to carry out certain tasks. Now, people may wonder, now, why are you doing a topic on disability and Ramadan, for example? Now, we've covered a lot of stuff. During the month of Ramadan, on this program, we've covered women in community, we've covered last week, we've covered rebirth, and next week, inshallah, we'll be looking at the youth in community. But what about those who are sometimes left in the background of our lives, you know, in our thoughts, because they just can't do everything that we think that we can do, that it's a lot of things that we seem to take for granted. So what is it like having the challenges sort of health and the inability to do certain things which most people take for granted? And what would Ramadan be for you if it wasn't so easy to just jump out of the bed? You know, when you're late for a Saturday in the morning, you jump out of bed. But what if it wasn't that simple? And what would it be like for you if you couldn't stand for the duration of Taraweeh and would really love to do that? Now, let's look at Ramadan through the eyes of an 8-year-old. Assalamu alaikum, Ikram. Ikram?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. And you?
Alhamdulillah. Are you well?
Si.
And how's your Rosa? Is it getting you?
Not really.
Not really.
Si.
Now, for our listeners, this is Ikram. He's 8 years old. He's phenomenal, inshallah. You have to listen to him and what he's going to tell us about the month of Ramadan and what Ramadan is like for him. Tweet me, like I said, at FaizaM. Now, Ramadan, Ikram, tell me something. How old are you now?
I'm 8 years old.
Okay. Well, the last time we covered your story on Children of Heaven, you were 4, right?
Yeah.
So tell me, when did you start keeping all your fasts?
Since I was 5 years old.
Okay. But don't the doctors say you mustn't keep any fasts? So what do you tell the doctors?
I don't tell them anything. I don't even tell them I'm fasting.
You don't tell them you're fasting? But is it difficult for you?
No, not really.
Oh, not really. So you just keep your fast. So from the age of 5.
Gee.
You're keeping the whole Ramadan.
Gee, all my fast since I was 5 years old.
Mashallah. And I heard you keep a few after Ramadan?
Gee, 6.
So you keep the 6 Shawwal as well?
Gee.
Yeah. So now did you have to take time off school today, Ikram?
No, I don't
mom,
think so.
You have to ask your mom, right? Because you're doing homeschooling, right? Okay. Now, Ikram, tell us about Ramadan. You know, there's a lot of people that want to know what it's like to be. Firstly, I'm sure when they heard now that you're 8 years old, plus you've been fasting since the age of 5, and later on, they'll understand some of your challenges when I speak to your mommy, right? But we want to know from you, what is it that you love most about the month of Ramadan?
The Quran.
Do you listen to a lot of Quran in Ramadan? And who's your favorite reciter?
With my Quran pen I got.
You got your Quran pen?
Gee.
And so who's your favorite? Sheikh Sudeis, Sheikh Ramadi, Sheikh Shureim, who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
Sudeis.
Yeah, Sudeis is definitely everybody's favorite. Now, Ikram, when you keep your rozas, what is it like to wake up for Seri? What do you do at Seri time?
I just have kajur and water, that's all.
You don't eat?
Gee.
Okay, and tell me something. In the month of Ramadan, right? What is it that you would love to do, but that you don't manage to do in Ramadan?
I want to go for Umrah in Ramadan, and I want to go on Taraweeh with my daddy.
Inshallah. We make dua for you, inshallah. Now, tell me something. You know, a lot of the times, you want to go for Taraweeh, right? But it's difficult for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is it difficult? Tell us.
Because it's cold and I'm heavy.
You're heavy. Okay, and tell me, Ikram, so for those people who are lazy to go for Taraweeh, there's nothing wrong with them, right? It's not too cold for them, or they don't have any difficulties with moving around, and they don't have a little wheelchair that they need to move around on. So what do you have to say for those of us who feel lazy to read Taraweeh? What do you say? Just get up and do it, no?
No, just make two steps.
See? Okay, and listen, Ikram, are you going to make a lot of dua for us, inshallah?
Yes.
Okay, make lots of dua for us, inshallah, in this month of Ramadan. And remember us in all your duas. And have a good month. And Allah make it easy for you to keep all your rosas and make it easy for you, inshallah, to go for Umrah and to go read Taraweeh with your daddy, inshallah, okay?
Yes.
Jazakallah for speaking to us, Ikram.
Ameen.
Okay. To our listeners, we're going to take a short nasheed break, but when we come back, we're speaking to Ikram's mom. So we spoke to Ikram now, 8 years old, and if you speak to his mom, you'll understand why it is so interesting and so important and so, how do I say, inspiring that Ikram even manages to keep his rosa. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548. Tweet at Faiza M or call us on 011-854-1548. Before I introduce my next guest, I have a tweet. It says, for mums, have to get up extra early to not only prepare Seri, but also get the child up and prepare her for Tahajjud and Seri. This is coming from a mum who has a child with a disability. And she says that she has to wake up extra early just to get her ready and to be able to ensure that, you know, she's ready and she can get her down for Seri and get her sitting and seated and be able to get Seri done in time. Now, on the line, I've got Shinaz. Assalamu alaikum, Shinaz.
How are you, Abba Faiza?
Alhamdulillah, and yourself?
Shukr, alhamdulillah.
We're speaking to Ikram, and I think in order to be able to our listeners, and I wanted to speak to him first so that, you know, I can get his nerves settled so he didn't have to sit and listen through your interview to come on air. So, Shinaz, I mean, in terms of he's been telling the listeners about the fact that he's keeping Ramadan and all of that, but I think we have to look at his story in context, and then our listeners would understand why Ikram's story about keeping Ramadan is so inspirational. So tell us about Ikram's condition, what it is. I mean, we've covered it many years ago on the Children of Heaven, but I think for those listening now, we'd like to, you know, understand what is Ikram's condition, and just to get an idea of who he is, you know, as a little young man.
Okay, no problem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ikram was actually diagnosed with hydrocephalus, which would mean water in the head, when I was 30 weeks pregnant with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually born then 2 weeks later with myelomeningocele, which was an open spine. Due to the open spine, he had to have closure so that he doesn't get meningitis, which actually caused him with his lower limbs completely paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And due to that also, because the spine is not straight and completely formed, he's actually got cross-ectopic kidneys, which means the one is on top of the other, and which is leaving his organs very compressed. So Ikram has a lot of challenges with breathing. Generally, he's... you know, he suffers a lot as a child, and I think just the fact that he cannot walk. I mean, if we think about it, we often take our legs for granted, and we can hop out of bed and just have a good day and do what we need. And it's very difficult for a child that is so mentally abled and sees the world and sees other children around him. Yet, the physical challenge keeps him back. So, you know, his case is a bit very difficult. We've got to cater for him in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, Shinaz, I mean, in terms of his challenges and his daily challenges, one of those challenges also is pain. And, I mean, when we spoke at some time, maybe a year or 2 years ago, I'm not sure, he had been going for certain treatments in terms of the pain that he experiences. Tell us more about some of the issues, underlying issues, because it's the one thing in terms of being born with a certain disability.
Right.
But then it's all the extras that come with it. For example, you're saying the spine wasn't fully formed. There was, you know, all of those have other impacts in other ways.
Gee.
So for him on a daily basis, what are some of the challenges that he faces?
Generally, being a child of 8 years old, he cannot go to school. That's one of the biggest challenges that we are having, because He's incontinent, which means, I mean, we tried putting him in a school, but I mean, you can imagine an eight-year-old child being in school, children knowing the child is on a nappy. That alone does leave a bit of stigma. So we opted eventually to homeschool him, which alhamdulillah, he's doing very, very well. Yeah. And then also the challenge of the organs being compressed again. You know, okay. It's very difficult for him now in Ramadan. He gets a lot of heartburn. Yeah. He suffers all the time where he cannot breathe, you know, and sugar, because he's a renal patient, he drinks a lot of water. Ikram pumps between 3 to 5 liters a day.
Yeah.
Where in Ramadan he has to do without that water, and you know, when he coughs up and whatever, usually he's got so much of sabr and yakin. You know, we actually tell him, Ikram, it's not faraz for you to fast, you know, you don't need to fast. But he's got that yakin that in fasting he actually feels he's getting shifa.
Now, I must tell you, when I asked him about the doctors, what they say, he said, I don't even tell the doctors that I fast. Then I said to him, is it difficult? He said, it's not difficult. So obviously, I mean, he has a very different view on things as we would do it. We look at him. I mean, if I look at him and I talk to you about the challenges that he faces, and physically, he has these challenges. But in some way, it seems that he has found a way to just get through that kind of, you know, difficulty that he's supposed to face, and get on with it.
I think it's when our children are born and they actually have a love for Allah, not a fear for Allah.
Mm.
You know, when you speak to him, and he's a type of child where he's very Allah conscious. You know, I mean, an eight-year-old child, you've got to stick to them. I mean, he started fasting all since 5. Mm-hmm. And there was never a day where Ikram ever came to us and said, can I break my roza, or I'm feeling it today. You know, he's got a lot of sabr. He thinks of the poor. He's actually went as far as last Ramadan, his helper is a Malawian. And he actually spoke to him, and he was very emotional about it, that the Malawian told him, you know, we don't even have water to break our roza sometimes because we don't even have clean water. And Ikram put a project together where, alhamdulillah, he put up a borehole. He collected money.
Wow.
And, you know, he's very people conscious. He's very compassionate. And he doesn't feel himself sorry in a sense of I can't do. He's always looking out for the next, not for himself.
Where do you think that comes from? Because I mean, a lot of the time we look at kids at this age, at the age of 8, from, you know, that kind of age, it's an age where they just, all they want to do is play, and all they're interested in is themselves and buying a new toy and doing something for themselves. So it's very interesting to see that how, I think when it comes to something like disability, and Allah Ta'ala gives somebody an inability to do something, he also gives them something extra.
Really,
and you see that so often, is that he gives them either a maturity, there's always a maturity in kids with a disability because they have to grow up quicker. They have no choice about that. You know, they're not going to play outside like everybody else. And so they become older almost in their mind, and they understand things from I think many times, almost an adult perspective.
That sabr sort of just matures them.
Yeah, and I think there's a strength that many of us don't seem to really gauge and understand. And I just wonder with Ikram, I mean, I know that you're saying that his strength comes from his yakin in Allah, but also there's a lot of, we live in a world, right? And there's often people and situations around us. What are some of the things that give him the strength that he has?
One of the major issues is family and friends. We would have never been able to do it without family support. You know, now in Ramadan, everyone makes sure sending something, or always inviting Ikram over for iftar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so family support is one of the major issues. And then quality of life. It's no sense just having an eight-year-old and just living every day, just pulling out school books. I mean, when you think of his challenges, he's got to have a love for life and a willpower to get up every morning. You know, you've got to find, I mean, like you're saying, other children go out and play. Ikram, alhamdulillah, he's taken a love to the mic, where he loves qiraat, he loves nizams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's those type of things that, I mean, you can think of how depressing a life could be where you don't feel able. So it's giving a child a lot of quality of life, you know, making them know that they are worthy, and they should feel like they serve a purpose.
Definitely. What is it, I mean, his mornings, what are they like in terms of waking up the theory? Is there any difficulties? Is there any challenges in that sense?
Sugar not. He refuses to eat. He's suffering a lot with heartburn. If I say it's, you know, to a very high level. But alhamdulillah, it's that he says it's sunnat, where he sits up for his kajur and water, and he'll wait for the azan to read, you know, recite his dua.
Okay.
So he's very strong-willed, and like I say, usually getting him up, he doesn't sleep through the night. But alhamdulillah, Ramadan seems to be the best month Ikram can ever have.
It seems he's taken it on very easily in terms of how he looks at, like I said, he looks at life and he looks at certain things. Now, I do want to talk about, I mean, while we're talking about disability in Ramadan, I think we can look at disability in many different ways as well. What are some of the challenges he has in a social setting? And I'd like to cover that because many times this is a topic we don't speak about. And I think with Ramadan, we have a greater listenership in terms of what you can impact.
Right.
In terms of a child who has a disability and how people would approach that. Now, when Ikram is going, you know, in a social setting, is he in a wheelchair? Just describe it to us in a sense. And what are some of the reactions, both sort of positive as well as some of the negative reactions you seem to get?
Ikram's been in a wheelchair since a year old, and alhamdulillah, he's very independent. He pushes it himself. At first, when he was very small, there was a lot of stare, there was a lot of, you know, children usually going to their parents and, you know, what is wrong with him, where now he started becoming big himself, and when he sees a child looking at him, he sort of gives an explanation himself. It's very difficult for children to adjust to him. I mean, at that level, they're not understanding. You know, we sort of set the thing where we have a way of saying children are not okay. We don't tell our children that, look, this is the problem with the child or that is the problem, so that children can deal with it one-on-one, you know, and understand
now, I must tell you, that's very interesting what you say, because it's very commonplace that children would ask the question. And children would ask the question because they look at a child with disability and they wonder, okay, so something's not right here, so what is the matter? But they're not saying it to be nasty. They're saying it because they have, at that age, an inquiring mind. And it is, like you're saying, the adult's responsibility to either find out what is wrong from the person, like from Ikram or from you or whatever, or to say, you know what, this is what I think might be, but we can always ask them. So in terms of, I think when children stay, it's more of an issue of, okay, I need to know what's going on here. When adults stay, or adults are uncomfortable. I might be wrong, and people can always tweet me and tell me. What is it? What is your reaction? So that's my question for Twitter: is what is your reaction when you see a person with a disability, and what do you think? How do you think you need to react? You know. So in that sense, Shanaz, I think kids are just inquiring in their minds, and they need to know, okay, what is going on here? And as adults, I think we have a responsibility to give them the proper answers.
What's nice is Shukr, Ikram really takes on to adults. He always loves people at a higher level because he feels they're more understanding.
And I know that.
And what's very nice about him, if someone, he finds that someone's curious about him or is not accepting him, he goes to them and he sort of shows them that, you know what, I'm just one of you. So alhamdulillah, when it came to confidence, around children, he cannot play, so it does break a bit of confidence.
Mm.
But when it comes to adults, Ikram's very positive, he's very confident. And he loves
people. What are adults like around him? Do they almost, because I think he could probably hold a conversation that...
it's amazing when Ikram actually talks to adults, it's amazing how much of thought he actually leaves in the mind. He actually thinks higher than an adult level at times, you know, where he leaves us pondering. He goes to madrasa and often his appa says, you know, we don't really do work. Ikram and I go on one-on-one conversation, and the way he questions about, you know, Allah and the stars, and she says things that doesn't cross our mind. You know, his mind really works very far.
I got a tweet from Rihanna Shah, which she says, SubhanAllah, what an inspirational HRO boy, indeed a miracle to behold. May Allah kind Allah grant him great reward, inshallah.
Amen.
And as a parent, what it like for you, knowing that, I just want to bring back to Ramadan as well, knowing that the doctors say, you know what, Ikram shouldn't quite be fasting because of his issue with his renal issues. What's it like for you as a parent to be able to play that sort of mediator between what, you know, what is the best thing medically and what is the best thing for Ikram as a child and for him as his mother? You understand that Ramadan is his best, and you're saying, you know, Ramadan is the best thing for him, is fasting, gets him through. But what is that middle role, sort of?
What's actually been very nice, look, Ikram was actually, because they picked it up in my pregnancy, Ikram actually was asked to be aborted. And because, you know, it was a choice we made and we refused to abort, doctors, professors, he's a para patient, so mm-hmm. people were very upset with the fact that we did not abort him. And alhamdulillah, with time, he's grown to be such a beautiful little boy that the doctors and professors themselves hold a lot of respect to our religion
mm-hmm.
because they couldn't understand, you know, their words to me was, does your religion ask you to bring a child to suffer? And alhamdulillah, that same boy that they love, you know, to pieces today. And they've come to a stage when he goes for his checkups, it's, Ikram, you know better. You know, we advise you not to fast, but mom, you go home and carry on doing what you are doing. You know, it's Ikram is surviving on yakin. He's surviving on everyone's duas. It's medically they say for themselves that we have no explanation. So, you know, he is a miracle, and I think it's, like I said, the power of dua. And the fact that he is living on love, his yakin is very, very strong.
Alhamdulillah. And just for our listeners, something to leave them with before we say goodbye to you, Shanaz.
I'd actually like to say people should please educate themselves, educate your children about disabilities. You know, it was very nice when we had the children of Tuchunna because people got to know what the different disabilities are. Look, no five fingers are the same and no five children are the same. We should love them, appreciate them, each one in a different way. You know, Ikram's come so far, alhamdulillah, because people are so supportive to him, because he's not outcast, because family sees him as such an important role in our family. Mm-hmm. And I think if all children, I mean, every children has a disability in their own way, and if all children are given that love and you know, taught yakin, like I say, if there's a love for Allah, inshallah, they can only prosper.
Shanaz, you yourself are an absolute inspiration in terms of what you do, and for Ikram, and for, you know, I think in terms of what you do for him, it's just adding to the Ummah in general, and being able to create that love, and just being able to make people understand that when you have a challenge or a child with a challenge, it's okay to be normal, to be able to bring them forward all the love you can possibly do. Push them to be the best that they can possibly be. And that's what you always do with Ikram. So may Allah Ta'ala reward you with the best of rewards in this world and the year after.
Ameen. And we make a lot of shukr to Allah Ta'ala, you know, for everything. He's really blessed us. He's really, I mean, all, I think all parents with special needs never have a dull day and never think that, you know, how could Allah do this to me? These children are really a blessing. And the quicker we start accepting them, the easier their lives can go on.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for your time, Shanaz. May Allah Ta'ala reward you.
Ameen. Ameen. And Jazakallah for having me.
Ameen. To our listeners, that was Shanaz, the mom of Ikram, and he was telling us about his Ramadan. So I have a question for our listeners, and there's a book giveaway. Like I mentioned, very kindly, Rihanna has sponsored her new book, Miracles. And for those of you who would like, love a free copy, there's one free copy to give away on today's program. Call us on 011-854-1548. If you can remember one of two conditions that Ikram was diagnosed with. So there were two conditions that his mom mentioned. If you can remember one of the two conditions, we give you the book, inshallah. We're going to take an ad break. When we come back, we speak to Brother Rashid about his wife, Amina. Also, like I said, we take calls on that book giveaway. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam, Media Mary 1548. Lines are open on 011-854-1548. That book giveaway, Miracles, by Rihanna Shahabul Bulia. The question is, what condition, one of two conditions that Sister Shanaz mentioned with regard to Ikram. What are one of those two conditions that you mentioned in terms of his disability? Alright, we're going to go to something different now. I'm going to read out a little excerpt from the book Miracles by Rihanna, and then we're going to speak to Brother Rashid, inshallah. Like a vehicle traversing a road to a determined destination, so too our body is a conveyance for our souls in this journey called life. While the vehicle may sometimes face the fate of challenge, death and accident, the soul continues to be the most essential to us. It is our essence, our core. Encountering this story, a beautiful sister who has faced a mammoth challenge in her life journey, a challenge that altered the vehicle of her being, yet her soul and spirit continues to soar as she endeavors and perseveres with tremendous courage and strength. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rashid. Welcome to Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Wa alaikum salam.
Jazakallah for taking time to speak to us here on Radio Islam. What I read now is a little bit in terms of, you know, the sort of excerpt from Rihanna's book, and it just starts off in terms of Amina's story. Before we go to that, we've just got a book giveaway for Rihanna's show, and we've got some callers on the line. I'm just going to take those callers, and inshallah, then we'll come back to the interview with you.
Okay,
we're going to take our first call on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Tell me, what is the answer to the question I asked?
One of the conditions is hydrocephalus.
Okay. We'll give you the book for that, but do you know what the other one was?
No.
Difficult to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It was myelomalingocele, but that's just for information purposes, inshallah. If you just hold the line and go back to the engineer, inshallah. So you have got a book, Miracles, courtesy of Rehana Shahbubuli, alhamdulillah. And please go, we're going to put you back to the engineer and he's going to take your details down.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah for calling in. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Right, so that's, we were talking about the book Miracles. Like I said, it says contemporary stories comprising personal interviews conveying the manifestation of the qualities of Almighty Allah through His might and mercy. Rehana Shahbubuli. So for those of you who want copies of the book, I'm sure you could go to many of the bookstores and or contact the radio station in terms of where you could get copies of the book. Congratulations to the sister who got the free copy as well. All right, now we're coming back to our interview with Brother Rashid. Brother Rashid, welcome back once again to Radio Islam. And we'd just like our listeners to tweet at FaizaM if you have had any sort of experience with disability in Ramadan or anything in terms of even health issues and how difficult it was and how you get through that. So we're talking about trials and triumphs. And in this story and what Brother Rashid will share with us, you'll understand how sometimes people just really, really, really just go the extra mile in terms of just trying to be to survive and then trying to make the best of their lives. Brother Rashid, what I read out was just an excerpt in terms of the introduction to Amina's story. If you would just give our listeners an idea of what happened in terms of her accident and post the accident, but some of the medical and physical issues that she has.
Okay. Amina was involved in a car accident in October 2006. She was pronounced dead on arrival when she arrived at Lenmed Clinic, and the doctor said that there's nothing further they can do because they couldn't feel a heartbeat and they couldn't feel a pulse. Anyway, they rushed her through to ICU and they managed to resuscitate her and they immediately put her on life support. She spent about 4 months in ICU at Lenmed Clinic. And then she spent another 2 months at a rehab facility in Auckland Park. After 6 months of hospital, she was transferred home, and we nursed her for another 5 months before she woke from a coma. So in total, she spent 11 months in a coma. When she woke from a coma, she realized that she couldn't hear. So she had lost her hearing as a result of her injuries. She suffered a traumatic brain injury, and as a result of the injury, she's in a wheelchair. She can't walk. She's got feeling in her legs, but she can't walk because her balance has been affected. And there's many other things that just went wrong. But she's a fighter, and she's very strong-willed, and she doesn't give up. So
she's got, through the accident and what had happened in terms of the accident, she's got multiple disabilities.
Yes. Well, okay. For starters, she's deaf and she relies totally on reading lips. So in the conversation, it's very difficult because it's not always that she can follow a conversation. She has to look around and try to follow different people's mouth movements. But she tries to do her best. If she can't understand, we will spell out a word, and then she'll know what we're saying.
So we're covering in today's program, we're looking at Ramadan and disability and how, you know, the inability to do certain aspects. For example, now with our previous caller, Ikram, he's 8 years old. With our previous guest, he's 8 years old. He has renal issues, but he refuses to even worry about those issues. But so he's been keeping it fast from the age of five.
Right.
And he pushes, like you're saying, he pushes himself to be the best that he could possibly be. Well, Amina, of course, the first time she had to encounter Ramadan after the accident, there must have been a lot of emotion attached to that because Ramadan is a month where we all feel special in that month in terms of how we connect with Allah and, you know, we just all calm down a little bit, life gets a bit simpler, and everyone just really enjoys the month of Ramadan. So, may I ask, what was it like that first Ramadan after the accident when she encountered her first Ramadan?
It was a lot of mixed emotions. I think frustration was the biggest one. Because she knew it was Ramadan and she understood what she needed to do, but she couldn't. There was a lot of sadness as well because of her condition. It prevented her from fasting in the beginning.
Okay.
But over time, it's gotten better, and I think her determination is so strong that today, alhamdulillah, she is fasting. And
okay.
For the last 2 or 3 years now, she's been trying as best to keep as many as she can. It's very difficult for her because she gets severe headaches on an almost daily basis. And normally she would take a painkiller or two to try and relieve the pain. But these days she's trying to fast as many as she can. So what she would do is she'd maybe take a painkiller before the onset of the headache.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to keep herself busy during the day. If she does get a headache, she'll maybe lie down for an hour or two.
Okay.
But she still will keep her fast. So.
Alhamdulillah. And in terms of being able to, like initially with the accident and being able to wake up from a coma after that amount of time in a coma, you obviously have to be sort of the foundation and the strong one in all of this. How do those who are, Amina has her challenges, if I may say.
Yes.
She has her challenges, but that challenge and that whatever she's facing obviously affects everybody that's around her.
Yes, true.
How did you and the people around her adjust to what you had to now deal with? Because your life has completely changed as well.
Yes. We have to be honest. We received a lot of support from family, friends, and we spoke to a lot of people who knew better. These are people that are specialists in their field, and they advised us as to what needed to be done. But I think most important is we never lost faith. We always had hope. We always believed in Allah, and we always knew that if we did whatever we needed to do, things will get better. So everyone just chipped in and they all worked together. My parents have been a great support and a great help to me. And I think our son Muhammad, he gives her a lot of strength. She won't give up, and she won't give in, because she loves him and she still wants to be there for him. She knows who he is. She knows what he means to her, and I think he gives her a lot of strength. And we just
it's interesting
to
say that, because when I was reading the story, what really caught me was what I read in terms of what she said about your son in the One Piece. And if I may just read it out to our listeners, it says, "I am 31 years old and I wear napkins. I cannot do the things that I was so passionate about, like cooking and baking, as our kitchen is not wheelchair accessible. So now I watch while everyone has to prepare meals and see to my needs. I wish I could walk so that I can pour myself a glass of water, make myself a cup of tea, and see to my son's school lunches. Sometimes I can't pick up the food on my plate as the pieces are too small, so my husband and son will feed me. I can't do so many things for myself, so how do I do it for my son? This is what kills me inside. The pain of not being able to do for your child is indescribable. I still do the best that I can do for him." So in terms of that, I mean, it really does, in the book on miracles and her story, it does explain, it does give that emotion in terms of how it feels. As a mom, not being able to do something for your child and having to actually reverse that role and make, you know, her the one.
In many ways, he does things for her.
And how old is your son now?
He is now 12 years old.
He's 12 years old. That's very young to be taking on that sort of responsibility. Do you find, and I asked the question of Shinazi, I mentioned to Shinazi, I find that kids with disabilities, when they're born with a disability, for example, or they experience it very young in life, you find that they mature very quickly. Have you found the same happen with your son, who has had to encounter his mum now going through such a difficult time and having, you know, had the disability brought on through the accident?
Yes, without a doubt, he has definitely matured a lot quicker than anyone expected. I'll just give you an example.
Yeah, sure.
There's a lot of days when he's alone with his mother at home. He will ask her if she's hungry or if she wants something to eat, and he'll prepare something for her. He'll make a toasted cheese, or he'll fry an egg or two, or he'll give her some cereal, and he'll see to all her needs. He'll push her around, he'll assist her in helping her to from a wheelchair to the bed, or from the wheelchair to a couch or a chair. So he has definitely matured, and he'll help her a lot.
And in terms of being able to keep, if I may ask, like, for example, when you're living life, you obviously don't want to live as much as you've got the difficulty and the everything that, you know, the challenge that you have upon you, and the changes that you need to make. How do you, because, I mean, I don't hear in your voice or when I texted Amina, for example, talking about the program, and I'm sure when, if I had to speak to your son, it may be the same thing, is how do you make sure that you don't have a somber atmosphere within a home, in order, you know, in terms of having this difficulty and having the difficulty, disability, but moving forward and trying to have the best life. Where do you find sort of that strength?
I think as a family, we try to make light of the situation. So there's a lot of laughter and there's a lot of teasing going on, and we work together. So that's a good thing, I think. And I think our faith is what gets us through. I think if we didn't have Allah in our lives, I don't think we'd manage. I think that's our main reason why we continue doing what we're doing, because everything comes from Him, and we believe it's a test. Everyone has their own test, and this is our test. So we've accepted it, and we just push on forward and do whatever needs to be done.
Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala reward you for everything that you do. I'd like, just my final question to you on today's program would be, if Amina could be the one that was speaking to us and to our listeners today, what would she say to them? What would, you know, her message be to our listeners and to myself?
I asked her this question last night, and this was her answer. She said, use your time wisely, because you never know what can happen, and you don't know whether you'd see another Ramadan. She said, pray a lot, read a lot, make dua, because Allah is most gracious and merciful, and He will answer your prayers. And I asked her, is that all? So she said, oh yes, never give up, always hope for better days, and don't take things for granted.
Sure, alhamdulillah.
Those were her words.
Is that, yeah, so just to make the most of every single day, take nothing for granted, use your time wisely, and like she said, we never know whether we're going to see another Ramadan, we never know if we're going to see the next day.
Yes.
And I'd just like to say, in terms of listening, reading her story, speaking to you, chatting to her on, you know, on WhatsApp, she's such an inspiration in terms of even being able to, even wanting to encounter and to communicate with others. And I think that's a lesson we can all take. There's so many times in our lives that we don't feel like speaking to someone. We're just not in the mood. When you look at her life, and I look at how that ability for her has now been taken away in some ways, in many ways, and we need to stop taking that for granted, for example, and maybe that's a lesson I would take from this, is that the next time you're feeling a little bit offish about someone or something, remember that Allah Ta'ala only knows what your future holds, and we make dua that Allah never tests us, but Allah Ta'ala knows, and only He knows.
True.
What's in store for us. Now, what's your message before we finish this program and before we let you go, Brother Rashid?
I know from the first day, it was going to be a long road ahead. The doctors told us you need to pray like you've never prayed before, because obviously her injuries were very serious. And initially, in the beginning, you question why me, or why her, or why us. But as time goes by, you realize all the good that comes from it. Sometimes we look at something and we think it's the worst thing ever. But as time went by, we met so many people, we made new friends, you realize what's important in life, you don't take life for granted, and you see Allah's miracles every day. So I think every one of us in our family are grateful for that, because of all the good that has come from her accident.
Jazakallah, Brother Rashid, and thank you for your time for coming on Radio Islam and for sharing your story with us. And so we finish today's program, inshallah, with that message, is don't take anything for granted, and just live life to the fullest, inshallah, and make lots and lots of dua. Remember us in your duas in this blessed month of Ramadan, inshallah. From me, Sister Faiza Munshi, it's a wrap. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.